Chapter 27, Reuben. A black Lincoln Town Car met them at the airport and drove them to Addis Cadro. Trevor stared out the window, half smiling into the dark. At one point, Reuben thought he'd fallen asleep. Barely 7 miles from home, idling at a stoplight, Reuben turned to Arlene, who also seemed to be sleeping. He wanted to say something, maybe whisper it so as not to wake her, but he wasn't sure what it would be. Something about that fact that the amazing trip was over and how that felt. Before he could open his mouth to speak, he felt night air on his side and heard the traffic sound suddenly louder. He turned to see that the door on Trevor's side of the car was wide open and Trevor was gone. Reuben jumped out into the street. He saw a small group of figures at the end of the block, outside a building with awnings on the windows. Two men against the building, one on the ground, two or three standing over the felled man, a baseball bat raised over a head, and Trevor running fast in their direction. With a good head start, Reuben took off after him at a dead sprint. At the edge of Reuben's vision, the building slid by like a dream, a blurred, distorted image through a wide-angle lens. Why couldn't he reach the end of them? He could feel his legs, his heart, opening and straining, yet the distance seemed to stretch out. Why couldn't he close the gap to the boy? Trevor! He screamed, bellowing, echoing from his lungs, pure panic. Heads turned. Trevor's head did not. Reuben's chest ached and burned. How could he be so short of oxygen so fast? He could see Trevor's untucked shirt tail flapping out behind him as he ran. Trevor streaked past the two men pressed against a building. Reuben could see them now. He was almost that close. One of the men wore black pants and a white top, like a waiter or a valet parking attendant. The other wore baggy jeans, his head shaved, and he seemed to have the worker pinned to the building somehow. The light from the street lamp glinted off something metal between them, a flash of light in Reuben's eye. Both men turned their heads as Trevor flew by. The man with the raised bat turned with startled curiosity to watch Trevor's approach. Without putting on the brakes, Trevor slammed into the man and knocked him down. As he tumbled, he fell against the legs of his accomplice, who also went down. Their second victim crumbled to the sidewalk, untouched, as if an imaginary wind had blown him over. The bat clattered loudly on the sidewalk as Trevor scrambled to his feet. Reuben had almost drawn level with the men against the building when Trevor turned suddenly, started back in his direction. For what? To head back to Reuben? Or did he think he could knock the last man down? The skinhead spun away to block Trevor's path. Trevor's impetuous carried him forward to that meeting. They came together, just a foot or two from the end of Reuben's hand. Reuben could almost have reached out and grabbed the man's jacket if it hadn't all happened so fast. Then, just as suddenly, the skin-headed man ran off into the dark, past his two partners, who scrambled to their feet and sprinted after him, sliding into the night like a river, just that fast. Someone threw a switch, and they were gone. 1994, interview by Chris Chandler from Tracking the Movement. Reuben, I saw it from so close, but from a funny angle. I was watching the collision from behind. I had no idea what I'd seen. I just remember seeing the man's right elbow come back and then fly forward again. It just looked like he'd punched Trevor in the stomach, not particularly hard. What I can't figure out is, could I really not see what happened? Or was it just so important to me, you know, not to see? After they ran off, Trevor was standing there. He looked okay. He had his hands over his stomach. His face was just so open. How do I explain it? He wasn't registering any pain or fear. That I could see. Chris, breathe. Take your time. Reuben, I have to tell you this part, what he said. Trevor looked up at my face. Who knows what he saw there? I can't even imagine. I don't even know what I was feeling. I couldn't even tell yet. But some of it must have been right there on my face. He could see it. I could see it on him. It was like looking in a mirror. Then I looked down at Trevor's hands, and Trevor looked down. It's like he just shifted his eyes down to see where I was looking. And he held his hands out, away from his body, under the light from the street lamp. He looked so surprised. Chris, because there was blood, you mean? Reuben, he looked up at my face again, and he said, I'm okay, Reuben. It's okay. Don't worry. Chris, was he in shock, do you think? Reuben, I think he was just trying to comfort me. He didn't want me to be upset. Chris, what do you think motivated him to jump in there? You think he just kind of gotten in the habit of trying to help in a big way? Reuben, he thought he had to do one more. Chris, we all thought he'd done plenty. Reuben, I know, that's what we told him. But he thought Jerry was a failed attempt. He thought he had two down, one to go. So he was on the lookout for somebody who needed something. Chris, if only he'd known about Jerry. Reuben, he said he was fine. He told me not to worry. Chris, did he say anything else? Reuben, no, nothing else.